And all your work turned in, and your sheet that you had to fill out tonight on how much, many of the lectures you've listened to, and the worksheets and all that. So make sure you get all that done. If you've not done it, this has been such a crazy time. We'll give you a little leniency on it, but within 2 weeks, everything needs to be in. If you don't have it prepared tonight to turn it all in, we need it all in within 2 weeks, okay? All right, let's get started on missions tonight. This is lecture 12, and there are a lot of things that we just don't have time to cover that I'd love to cover. But as you've done your work in your textbook, a lot of good principles are given to you by Scott Moreau and the other fellow that helped him write the book. They both served as missionaries, so they had a lot of pointers, I think, to give you. We're going to talk tonight about deputation. We closed out our last lecture talking about deputation. And I don't fight a war with Southern Baptists. I was identified for years with the Southern Baptist Convention, but I'm independent Baptist and have been for years. I'm educated in independent Baptist schools. And my church is finally an independent Baptist church. And here's one reason I am glad that I'm, and of course, even through the years, we've supported missions just like any independent Baptist church. We pick our missionaries. And our missionaries have to go on deputation. Now, the reason I'm in favor of that so much, instead of just going to a denominational board and they look you over and said, you're our missionary, and then you're on the cooperative program. I believe it's best for a missionary to have to go on deputation. And here's why I believe it is, because a lot of these people that just go before a board, some of them wasn't called. There's no stringent 2 or 3 years to have to go through a process. And what it does, deputation, weeds out some that really wasn't called of God to go anyhow. So that's what I like about the deputation process. But how you approach deputation, and we're going to get a little insight into the mission, how missionary, how he feels, and getting his support together and all that. But deputation ought to be an opportunity to minister. There'll be a lot of churches that a missionary would never be called in to preach were they not a missionary candidate. And it's going to open up a lot of doors. Some have the idea, well, I got to go through deputation to get to the field. That's no kind of attitude. They'll miss a lot of blessings. And what it is, it ought to be a desire to minister to people. Even in deputation, it's a desire to minister and help others. It'll take about 3 years for most missionaries. Some get their support in 2 years. Most of them, they'll work from 2 to 3 years before they get the support that they need. And here's what a missionary has to realize. If God has called them, and if they're faithful to take the doors that God's open, it's God's responsibility to raise their support. It's their responsibility to do the will of God and preach, but it's God's responsibility to get the support for them. And he'll do it. He can lay it on pastors' hearts to support certain missionaries and that kind of thing. So if the attitude is, I got to do it to get to the field, person's going to miss a lot of blessings in that. And then also, you'll have an opportunity in deputation, anyone who's a missionary, to help the people. There'll be weak people, there'll be weary people, there'll be wounded people, there'll be wayward people. And instead of saying, this is something I've got to do, you can say, well, I want to be a blessing. I want to help somebody. And God gives the missionary the privilege to encourage the discouraged. He can enlighten those in darkness. And he can exhort those who are in doubt. He's got a tremendous opportunity going into churches. Some missionaries will never make it to the mission field. And I don't think that's an accident. If they cannot raise the support they need, then possibly God doesn't want them there. Because who's responsible to raise the missionary's support? God is. If that missionary doesn't get the support they need, then it may be the will of God that maybe they missed it. Maybe they thought they heard the voice of God about it and didn't. But if God means for them to be on the field, God will provide the support from church to church as it mounts up, they'll know kind of what they need through the mission board to go to that country, and the church will help supply that need. Sometimes on deputation, missionaries get bitter waters. I mean, things happen and misunderstandings. But when the water gets bitter, you know, Elisha had a problem with bitter waters. What'd God tell him to do? Put a tree in it. That's a picture of Calvary. And so the Lord can turn the bitter, those bitter waters of deputation into sweet waters. And then we need to have this attitude toward deputation, that it's a time of training. It's not a time to be wasted. 1 to 3 years is exactly the time. I know of very few. Brother Roddy, do you know of any missionaries that's gotten their deputation done in a year? I don't think so. I don't know if I've ever heard of that. If they did, it's an unusual situation. So probably 2 to 3 years of training, going in churches and presenting the gospel, and that'll be good. If a missionary can't endure, now listen to this carefully. If a missionary can't endure 3 years of deputation, it's doubtful he'll endure the first 4-year term on the field. If he stays there 4 years, he may be ready to come home, and that may be it. And I look at it this way. If a missionary is in a place where God doesn't want him to be, he's better off to come home. We've had some to go to the field and they've dropped, and that's the right thing, because you want to be in the center of God's will wherever you are. Deputation ought to be looked at as a time of building relationships. You're going to find prayer partners. People are going to be praying for you to get your support. And then when you get on the field, they're going to be praying for you for the support there. So you'll build some great friendships as you go from church to church, and that's a good thing. And then also you're going to get prayer warriors praying for you. I'd rather have somebody praying for me that can get through than anything I know of. So you'll find a lot of people. You know, there are those that you go on Facebook and somebody put a praying. I wonder how many of those ever pray a prayer. Sounds good. Makes you look spiritual. And a lot of times people do pray, but a lot of times it's as phony as a $3 bill. They don't, you know, they don't do it. But you're going to find some people when you go on deputation, and we're looking at things from the missionary. I know some of you, most of you won't be foreign missionaries, but we're trying to look into the missionary's calling and deputation, these things that concern him. Not everybody that says they're going to pray for you will pray for you, but there are some that will. I've heard of missionaries talking about when people were praying for him, they said, "I was praying for you at a certain time. God performed a miracle for that missionary during that time." And I've heard a lot of testimonies of that. When the situation to the missionary may seem hopeless and helpless, something happened because somebody was praying for them. Some advocate that the churches stop sending the smaller amounts, 40, 50, and 60, and that what they do, that they give so much that 3 or 4 churches can support the missionary. Well, here's why I wouldn't be for something like that. It would shrink the prayer support base. The more churches that missionary gets in before he goes to the field, the more prayer helpers he's going to find. So it would shrink the prayer support base. Then it would rob the missionary of a lot of experiences. Deputation is a good process, a valuable process. It's a, as I said earlier, it's a learning time, a developing time for the missionary. And the good thing is that God will meet other people's needs as he'll meet other people's needs as God enables him. Let's talk about doing deputation. Here are 3 questions about it that comes up. How do I get started? How do I get meetings? How do I convince pastors to take me on for support? Now, let me say this. There is no set in stone, no ironclad way to do it. But what the missionary has to realize is that raising his support and getting him to the field, if God wants him there, it's God's responsibility. That doesn't mean he's supposed to be lazy, sit back in the church and say, "Well, God's going to get me on the mission field." No, there's human responsibility. In things God promises to do, there's a human responsibility side in that. So we've got to see our human responsibility. The missionary's job is to preach. The support is God's responsibility. What the missionary does is pray. He finds God's will concerning where he's going to go and where he needs to be, preaching to raise the support that he needs. God has a specific plan for every missionary. Now, what if the support doesn't come in? We just dealt with that. God's probably not wanting him to go to that field, because God's big enough to raise support for anybody that he wants in a particular place. He's big enough to do it. Then that person going on deputation, he needs to talk to other missionaries that have already been through the deputation process to raise their funds a little here, a little there, a little there. And he needs to talk to other missionaries that have already been through that, and he can learn from them. And then the mission board can give pointers and guidelines. There's some good Baptist mission boards. And when I was in Chattanooga, one board that was centered there at Chattanooga was Baptist International Missions. Any of you ever heard of that? That's a good missions group. There's some good ones out there. The candidate can find out a lot if they're with a good mission board. Find a lot of guidance. And then the way to get appointments is to call pastors. Now, it hurts me when they call and I believe it's a good man and I just can't take everybody on. It'd be great if every missionary that called, if they were good quality church, could take them on. Every church has a limited budget, a limited amount, you know, they can take on. So I have to tell a lot of people, said, well, you know, right now we're not taking on any new candidates. I hate to do that, but you have to be realistic about it. But they're doing right in calling me to try and to get an engagement. They're not sitting in the easy chair thinking God's just going to automatically get everything for them. They're doing what they ought to do. They're contacting pastors, and that's great. They need to realize that they'll be turned down to come preach in the church more times than they'll be accepted. That's part of the discouraging part of deputation. Some let that get to them, but they ought not do that. And then when a person calls the pastor, they need to remember he's the pastor. He's the one that's going to say whether they get to come to the church or not. So you're interested in raising support, but the pastor has the entire responsibility of the church on him. And he has to make wise decisions. If he doesn't make wise decisions, he won't be the pastor of that church very long. He needs to decide what's best for the church, and he does not always owe the missionary an explanation for his response. If a pastor mistreats a missionary, God will deal with him on that. I guarantee you, God will deal with him on that. Let's let God take care. Then a good way to get into the church is get a pastor's referral. If a pastor is interested, or if he's not, if he says, well, I can't take on anybody at this time, we're not taking on new missionaries right now, he can say, well, are there any pastors that you know that you could refer me to that might be interested in taking on a missionary? And there's nothing wrong with doing that. He can give some names, phone numbers, pastor friends, and that's great. Now, if you're going to use his name as a reference, then you better get that pastor's permission. If you don't do that, you're not being ethical. There's a fellow used to come to our church. He's a bipolar guy, and he stopped coming. Had to do some talking to him. But he started going to churches up on the mountain and saying, I'm a member of Zion Hill. And then he'd take the pastor aside and try to get money out of him. I called that fellow up and I said, don't you ever use my name and use my church's name. He didn't have permission to use my name. He didn't have permission to use the church's name. And he was doing something crooked and trying to do it. Just a church bum, all in. So we need to, nothing wrong with contacting people and using a pastor as a reference if that pastor gives you permission to do it. One of the greatest ways for a missionary to get doors open if he's going to the field is attend meetings. That's what we call exposure. He goes to fellowship, preachers' fellowships. He goes to camp meetings. He goes to revival meetings. Any other meeting where some pastors are going to be present, he needs exposure. And he needs to go up to whoever's moderating and tell him, I'm such and such, and I'm going to Brazil as a missionary, and I'm raising my support, and it's good to be here. You know, you let that pastor or the moderator know that you're there, and he may even give you 4 or 5 minutes to get up and present your work and ask for the prayers of the people. Another way to do it is a prayer card. Now, about all missionaries print up a prayer card, and that's a good thing to do, a good, beautiful, colored prayer card. If you're going to do it, don't do a homemade one. Spend some money and get it looking right. Look like something of quality if you're going to do that. And then another way to get contacts is other missionaries. They can you can call them up and say, well, what church has you been to? Do you mind telling me who? And give me a phone number contact. They can find out a lot through other missionaries. In fact, they can give you some good points as to what kind of fellow that pastor is and when to contact him and some other things. All right, what about going to fill an appointment? All right, you've made your phone calls, you've gone to the fellowship meetings, and you're wanting some places to go. You've got an appointment, and you're going to it. Well, what are you going for? You're going to present your burden and present the word of God to the people. If you're going, be prompt. Don't go in if the service starts at 11. Don't go in at 5 minutes to 11. You can't set up a table, meet that pastor, and get in a comfortable situation in 5 minutes. Missionaries ought to come early. They need to set up their display. They need to greet people, and may need, they've been on a trip, may need to go to the restroom. So they need to get there early to take care of it. Rushing in may leave a bad impression. It may keep them from getting support from the church. Then they're to be presentable. Going to church looking like somebody. Can you imagine if you had a missionary to come to your church and he came in with a tank top and a pair of Bermuda shorts? He'd be going back out the door. He wouldn't be speaking his ideal. But I had never had one go that extreme, but you ought to look the best you can. If you're going to be a mission candidate, and if you have to wear clothing from the Goodwill store, that's all right. They got some good clothes down at Goodwill, or hospice have some of those places. Not only be presentable, but be polite. You always need to be polite, courteous, a mannerly type person, person with good manners. They'll remember your politeness long after they've forgotten what you preached, your demeanor, your conduct, your character. Be polite. And then be punctual. In other words, if a pastor says you've got 5 minutes, that's how long you've got. Not 7, not 8, not 10. And when you say, well, you get up and you ask the pastor ahead of time, Pastor, how much time do I have? 5 minutes. And you get up in front of the church and you say, well, I'm going to have to get on the ball here. I've got 5 minutes, and I appreciate these 5 minutes. Well, what you've done, you've honored that pastor in front of his people. And they see your attitude. And that makes them more wanting to present you. It'll probably impress them more than what you've got to say. They'll notice whether you appreciate and respect the leadership of the man of God or not. Another thing to do is to be prompt, be prayerful. The Holy Spirit, it's the job of the Holy Ghost to impress on the pastor's heart to support you. That's his job. So you need to be prayerful that the Lord will lay a burden on that pastor's heart and just trust the Lord, and it'll take all the pressure off. Are they going to support me? Are they not going to support me? Forget all that. Just go in there and preach and worship God, or take your 5 minutes or 10 minutes and do the best you can for him. And you need to be prepared. You need to know from the pastor, do you want me to preach? Do you want me to give a testimony? Do you want me to sing? Or what do you want me to do? And you leave that all up to the pastor. Pastor might change his mind, say, well, I want you to speak about 10 minutes and get there, and the Lord may tell him he needs to preach. So just be ready, be prepared for whatever comes. And I was reading a fellow on that, and he said, have some messages committed to memory. Well, this fellow must have been 40 years old when he wrote that book. He's obviously not 71. So my advice would be to put several messages in your Bible. Don't commit them to memory. If you're over 60 years old, don't dare try that. Now, one fellow could do that, and that's Dr. R.G. Lee. R.G. Lee he had a mind as sharp when he was 90 years old as when he was 50. All right, and then when you go to the service, you need to be pointed. Present your burden to the field where God's called you. You're not there to straighten the pastor out or to rebuke the church. That's not what you're there for. Preach whatever God tells you to preach, but know what you're there for. Their major purpose for going to the mission field is to reach the lost for Christ and establish New Testament churches. Their impressions at last, I want to give you some of those. One of those is the burden you display. You know, there are certain missionaries that have come through here, and they talk about going to a field, but you don't feel their burden. Boy, when I feel somebody's burden, and we've had a guy came here. I think he goes to New Manna when he's not traveling. But this guy's going to his own people, and I believe it's Thailand. He had a burden, I could tell. And boy, that made me want to support that missionary because he presented a real burden. He displayed it. And then there's the blessings you deliver. You ask the Lord to make you a good preacher. None of us are going to be the best preachers in the world. But we all want the Lord to make us a good preacher. And we ask him to help us be a blessing. And we go into the service realizing that there are people there with battles and storms and struggles in their life. And if you can help them through their troubles in what time you have, they're going to be glad to help send you to the mission field if you can be a helper to them. Then there's the behavior you demonstrated. It's important to have good behavior. Now, this wasn't a missionary, but I preached a meeting for a pastor back many, many years ago in another county. And the first night of the meeting, he had two, three little boys. I couldn't believe what was going on. One of them, I looked down and there was one of them at my feet. He was crawling around under the pews. And when I got up to preach, there were two or three of those little guys climbing around, crawling around under those pews like little rats or mice. I lost a lot of respect for that pastor. I really did. I thought, how is he going to rule a church if he can't control his little mice? I mean, yeah. So anyhow, the behavior you demonstrate is very important. Good behavior. The missionary's wife, the missionary himself, the children. If a missionary candidate comes in, the kids are banging on each other and he does nothing to control them. I'm wondering, how's he going to be on the field if he can't control his own family? So, once you have an appointment, once you have the appointment and after it's been fulfilled and you've gone, a missionary needs to put the pastor on a mailing list and the church and do that immediately. In fact, if the church doesn't even take him on, he needs to say, well, can I send you a newsletter and get an address? And that way, maybe later on, that pastor will get those letters and read, and he'll get a burden. And he'll say, well, come on, I want you to preach to my people. We're going to consider you. So you thank people for the opportunity to be with them and present your burden. You thank them for any honorarium they give you. And let me say this. No church is under an obligation to give a missionary an honorarium. Now, it's the right thing to do, but when we have missionaries come in, I find out if they don't come to me, somebody tells me there's a missionary back there, and I go back and talk to them just a few minutes, and if I feel it's okay, we give a missionary $200 when they come to a service, if they don't say a word. If we don't even consider them for support, we just give them $200. You say, well, why are you doing that? To be kind. And I may not be interested in having them speak to the people. But if a person has the resources to do it, and God's blessed us, we've got some good givers at Zion Hill, You know, we do that to help every missionary. But most pastors will give an offering to a missionary. If they don't, and a missionary speaks, even 10 minutes, I'd question the pastor's integrity. He's not under obligation, but I'd question his integrity if he won't do anything to help a missionary. So if a person doesn't get support, they need to try not to be too discouraged. Just need to thank God, Lord, I've had an opportunity to present my burden and to preach the word of God. And Lord, you're going to supply. If this church doesn't do it, there's one other one somewhere and a bunch of others. I'll get my support if you want me there. And then a pastor ought to have this attitude. He doesn't talk down or look down to a missionary. I'm a man of God. That missionary is a man of God. So the pastor is not some superior person to the missionary. Now let me give you some closing thoughts on deputation. First of all, be real. Be genuine. Don't try to be somebody you're not. That doesn't work. And so you just present your burden and realize God's called you and God is faithful, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. All right, it's time to leave for the field. You've gone through that long deputation process. You've learned a lot. You've matured more, having to depend on God from service to service and time to time. So you prepare to leave for the field. Now, you don't go to the field until you have your support. I wouldn't want to hear a missionary whine, well, I don't have enough support, after they're already over there. They ought not leave till they have the proper support. And a mission board can pretty well know in the country is a good board what it'll take to live. And they'll have some idea how much they need to raise on deputation. They come back again and again every 4 years, because a lot of churches stop supporting. There are a lot of churches, sad to say, are folding up across this country. I mean, some of them just got a bunch of older folks. When the older folks die, who's going to take over the church? Who's going to lead the church? So a lot of them fold up. So they have to come back and find some more churches to keep their support level where it needs to be. I know it's simpler just to go to a denominational board and everything's fixed. But a missionary misses a lot by not having to go through the difficulties and the rigors of deputation. So you need to check with other missionaries and boards about your belongings, shipping them, and all that kind of thing well in advance of the time you leave. And then there's a lot of paperwork. How many of you had to have a visa to go somewhere? Nobody's gone anywhere with a visa. I know Brother Ronnie has. Raise your hand. You didn't go to sleep on us, did you? Never mind. I said you didn't go to sleep on us, did you?
No.
Okay. Okay, I'm kidding, Brother Ronnie. But there are things to do, a visa. You have to get a visa to go into another country. And then you check with mission board, missionaries, to find out what you can. There's medical aspect. What are you going to do about medical when you go to a foreign country? And you need to find out about that through the mission board. And then if you procrastinate or you put off, it might delay your departure to the field. If a church is supporting you, they don't want you to just keep on deputation all the time. They want you on the field. So don't procrastinate. Travel plans need to be made, plane tickets bought, and all that kind of stuff. All right, the missionary, before he leaves, there's something that needs to be done if it's not been done. He needs a commission in service. Now, for a pastor, what we call that is an ordination service. But for a missionary, we call it a commission in service. That's the last thing to be done by the church the missionary is out of and the sending church. Now, if he's not been ordained, ordination is a part of the sending ministry. In other words, we don't ordain a fellow just because he's called to preach. We license a man. And then when he's called to a church, then's when we ordain. When a church calls him, and normally it's the home church and the sending church, they come together. There's a charge of the church, a charge of the preacher. But this missionary is going out to evangelize and to hopefully help be a part of establishing local churches. So he needs an ordaining. If he's not been ordained, if he's not been a pastor, because he's going probably to be a pastor eventually on the field. And so we ordain and then we commission that missionary to go. Through the local church, he's given the authority to evangelize. He's going to a field and he's going to start leading sinners to Christ. And then the commissioning gives him the authority to baptize. A person just doesn't say, well, I'm just going to baptize people. That's not the way it works. I'm a local church man. And the authority to baptize comes through the local church. And that's an important thing to know. Now, baptism was a part of the Great Commission. We're to go and preach, teach, and to baptize. Commission or baptism is a part of the work of missions and part of the Great Commission. In Acts 8:26, we're familiar with the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip is out there in the desert. He left that great revival meeting. God told him to go in the middle of nowhere in a desert. And he went out there and there's a eunuch reading from Isaiah. And he preached the gospel to him, preached Christ to him. And he said, what hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so the chariot stood still. They went down in the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, you say, now what about the local church? Well, there was no local church probably there in Gaza. So the only sensible explanation is that the church at Jerusalem had invested these disciples, like Philip, with the authority to baptize. So that's very important. The local church invests that authority in the man when they call him to be a pastor of a church. He has that authority to baptize. Not any member is supposed to just step up and baptize. The pastor has been authorized by the local church when the local church calls him to do that work. So the commissioning service gives a missionary the responsibility to establish a church, because they're ordaining him just like a pastor, and stabilizing those that are saved and baptized, teaching them to observe all things. What about language school? This is where a lot of have difficulty, especially if they're older and it gets harder to learn, but it's a necessity. In other words, if I go into a foreign country and I don't try to speak their language, and I think, well, the whole time over here, I'm not going to learn the language, and I'm just going to use an interpreter. How do you think that'd settle with the people? I don't believe that'd settle very well. So there's language school. You have to learn the language of the people. And normally, when a missionary goes on the field, he works under a missionary there to learn the ropes and know what he's supposed to do. Sometimes missionaries have gotten embarrassed and the work of Christ has been hindered because they did not properly learn the language where they were going. Of course, there's the new missionary on a new mission field. There are problems, sometimes the customs and culture. Sometimes there's this big culture shock. And then when they leave their families at home, their brothers, their sisters, their family unit, it's tough on them. And loneliness can come. And they have to deal with loneliness while they're on the field. So they start a new work, they pray about it, and here's the thing, and I'm going to close with this tonight. Missionaries don't go to a foreign field to say, I'm going to establish a church just like I've got in America. You've got to work with the customs and the culture of those people. You don't go in there to Americanize them. In fact, you may have to start out with inviting somebody over to a Bible study if you're going to establish a church. You may go out to the street corner and pass out tracts and invite them to come to a certain location for a Bible study. It's tough getting the church started, especially in a place like Northern Ireland, England. Boy, those are tough places. If a missionary goes to those countries, he'll do well to have a congregation of 20 or 30, 40 people. And here in America, it's nothing to have churches of 100, 150. So it's different. We need to pray for missionaries and always be open to do whatever God wants us to do. I was going to the mission field I thought when I went to Tennessee Temple, but God didn't work it out. God meant for me to pastor churches. He meant for me to be here to start this Bible college. And I'm just thankful that God had a plan for my life. And I've done my best to fulfill that plan. Heavenly Father, thank you for all these students. Lord, we've missed being with them over the last few weeks. But we're thankful that because of internet and all that you've provided, they've been able to continue their studies. I pray, Lord, you'll give them a great summer. And the Lord, when to come back in the fall, I pray it'll be a great learning process for us as we learn together the things of God and things about the work of God and the Word of God. And Lord, give highway safety going home tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.